This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Hello, welcome to the Corny Turner Podcast. I am here today with the Seed Oil Scout. That is going to be his name. You can't see him, unfortunately. We can talk a little bit about that, but unfortunately, he needs to be remaining anonymous, so we will not be using his name and we will not be seeing his face. But we will be having a conversation about a really cool app that he created. It is the Seed Oil Scout app, and this is a topic that you've heard me talk about before. I do not like seed oils. I'm pretty sure I have an allergy to them. I have adverse reactions whenever I, eat out at restaurants that use copious amounts of these things. So I am glad that there is some sort of an app now where I can figure out where to go, because some restaurants, even though they claim that they're friendly to, allergies and sensitivities, a lot of times they don't even know. And unfortunately, sometimes they think they use olive oil or they think they use butter, but really it's mixed with things like canola oil. And that can definitely be problematic for people who are sensitive, or just people who are already inflamed, because these oils are highly inflammatory, as we discussed on a previous episode. And we might get into more of that today. But without further ado, how are you doing today, Mr. Seed Oil Scout?
I'm doing great, Courtney. Thanks for that intro. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's not even that you're allergic to seed oils. They're just frankly, they're bad for everyone. I think, some people are more sensitive to the reaction than others. And I completely agree, right? Like it's, he cooking at home, you know what you're bringing into your kitchen from the grocery store, right? But the restaurant kitchen is a complete black box, and they've got basically every incentive to just kind of, make things cheap, make things look good for Instagram, make things kind of palatable, caloric. They're sneaking sugar and seed oils into everything they can. So that's kind of where the idea for the app came from. I'm based in New York City, and basically, I was cooking for myself a lot during COVID. And as soon as dining opened back up, I was like, I didn't want to eat anywhere, basically, because I was, I had cut out seed oils and was eating a lot cleaner. But it was like a complete mystery as to what any of even the best restaurants in New York were using to cook with, right? Because it's like, it's not exactly what you... I guess I would say it's hard to predict unless you talk to some restaurants, and now I can kind of predict pretty well, but it's hard to predict who's using seed oils and who isn't, sort of. Or at least it was. Right. And we can talk about, you know, some guidelines if the app isn't showing you anything. But, you know, the apps, we are covering a lot of the country now, which is great. There's like, I think there's hundreds of reports in New York, maybe like 100 restaurants that, you know, you could have a pretty good meal at in New York City. And there's at least like one or two safe options. I would be confident in saying like almost every American city of like, or I'd say like the top 50 American cities.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. After our recent, so we did a collab with Carnivore MD, Paul Saladino, and that really got the app out there a lot. And since then, there's been scouting. I guess users of the app scouts. But yeah, the people have been, you know, talking to waiters, sending emails, right? Like I built the app to make it really easy to scout out like a big area without eating at all the restaurants, because I had to do that myself in New York City to get people to use the app, right? If the map was blank, everyone would be like, what do I do here? So the app makes it really easy to email restaurants, which I found is actually often the best way to get a straight answer.
Right. Interesting. Yeah, that's something I've just from personal experience found is, you know, I'll say, okay, well, I could use olive oil, I can use butter, and they'll say that's no problem. And I'll ask them to verify, like with the chef, and then they'll find out that it's actually olive oil mixed with canola, or it's butter mixed with margarine, or yeah. I'm like, well, totally. that's not going to work. So
yeah, exactly. The way that you input reports in the app is kind of guides you into those pitfalls, right? Like I make you put the source of the report. Okay. And there's different source between asked the waiter and what I call kitchen confirmed, because if you just take the waiter's response at face value, I've been at places where they're super knowledgeable and they're like, this has wells, this doesn't, but usually they have no idea, and their conception of it is far rosier. Like they're not back there in the trenches where the oil's flying all over the place. They're just like, oh yeah, it's olive oil, I think. And it's like, well, can you go check? Right. I mean, blended olive oil, right, is huge. Even at like, sadly, like a lot of nicer restaurants use it. I mean, the core problem is just that for the most part, like from the perspective of a restaurant owner, the FDA, you know, considers soybean oil like heart healthy, right? And like seed oils to be, there's nothing that a restaurant owner would like come across that would indicate to them that seed oils might be unhealthy. It's really only if they come from like a culinary tradition that they kind of, you know, would really care about that. Like the restaurant we went to with Carnivore MD is called Hearth. And the owner of that is a chef named Marco Canora, he's been pretty vocal about using like healthy fats for almost 20 years. The restaurant's been open for about 20 years. And, you know, he's just sticks truly to authentic Tuscan cuisine and would only use ingredients that you would find in Tuscan cuisine, which do not include canola oil. Right. So, I mean, we can maybe step back and talk a little bit more about seed oils more broadly, or I don't know, whatever you think.
Yeah. Let's do that. Take a step back and tell us, what are seed oils and why are they problematic, or are they problematic? So, I know there's a controversy over that as well. And even in the literature, there's a lot of people who are putting forth studies claiming that they're not only not problematic, but that they could be beneficial. So yeah, let's dive into that and see if we can clear up some of the confusion.
Yeah. So, people often ask me which oils are seed oils, right? And the thing I've found easiest to think about is if it doesn't come from a fruit or an animal, it is definitely a seed oil. You just need to know what all the fruits are. So olives are a fruit, right? Avocado is a fruit. Mm-hmm. Coconut's a fruit, right? And palm oil, also a fruit, right? All those oils can be extracted in like a fully cold process from the pulp. Right. You're essentially just smushing the pulp And if you had like, if you had like a press in your kitchen, you could make these oils, right? Like if I give you enough olives and like some kind of pressing machine, you could just squish the olives and you'd get olive oil basically. Mm-hmm. But the, so seed oils, right? Those are, you know, to list off the most common ones, right? It's canola oil, sunflower oil, grapeseed oil, and soybean oil. Soybean oil, I think, is the most kind of widespread because of like all those soy subsidies in America. It's just extremely cheap to produce. But the core difference there is that all of these oils are like chemically extracted through like a very harsh process involving neurotoxic solvents like hexane and heat as high as like 500 degrees Fahrenheit, right? Which is more of a problem because those oils coming from seeds are comprised of much more polyunsaturated fat as opposed to monounsaturated and saturated fat. So olive oil and avocado oil are monounsaturated fat, meaning they're only missing one hydrogen in their carbon chain. And that basically the amount of saturation controls how stable the fat is, right? So saturated fats have all of their carbon, all of their hydrogen atoms. And because of that, they're solid at room temperature. So you can think of those as like butter, animal fats, right? Anything that kind of just sits solid at room temperature. Right. The monounsaturated fats are like the more stable. It's basically, you would just, the only ones you'd probably encounter in large quantities are like olive oil and avocado oil. But seed oils are comprised of a ratio of polyunsaturated fat that like is unprecedented in nature, essentially. No human before, say like the year 1800 would have consumed large quantities of polyunsaturated fat because you would have had to essentially sit down and eat like a bushel of sunflower seeds to do that. And just, it's not something you would do, right? Right. So because,
No, I said, right. Most people wouldn't do that. Yeah.
Right. So essentially, because of that, our bodies are not adapted. Our satiety pathways are not adapted to be signaled when consuming large quantities of calories from polyunsaturated fats like soybean oil. So it's very easy to just keep eating them, right? Like if you're eating a big bowl of French fries fried in seed oils, your body's not really getting that signal that you're eating like, you know, 1200 calories or whatever that you'd be getting if you were eating fries fried in saturated fat, like beef tallow. So it's kind of that two-pronged problem, right? It's like the fact that your body is not adequately prepared to process them, but also that they oxidize extremely quickly and they're fragile and they've been like kind of pre-destroyed in the factory. And that leads to these toxic compounds called aldehydes, specifically one called HNE. I forget what that stands for, but it's basically proven to cause inflammation, like you said earlier, especially, and one thing the science is not ambiguous about is seed oils in a deep fryer. Like seed oils sitting in a deep fryer for hours are absolutely like a cocktail of inflammatory poison. And Americans eat so much deep fried food that it's like kind of, if you really go through like a typical restaurant meal, like a lot of it's deep fried. It's kind of, you know, gross and maybe unnecessary. But like in an American meal, all the like crispy fun stuff that people associate with dining out is typically deep fried. And actually a lot of stuff goes in the deep fryer that you might not expect to, like say like a crispy Brussels sprouts or something like that. So yeah, that's kind of, you know, the brief overview. Right. And then from there, like you were saying, you know, there's some disagreement as to, you know, between mainstream literature and the scouts. That it's a long history. It kind of, I would say like what you were right. Like you had mentioned that some people think seed oils are healthy, right? And that they are healthy if you specifically are only care about lowering your cholesterol. Right? Because they will lower, if you swap out all the saturated fats in your diet for seed oils, your cholesterol will go down. Right. but it doesn't appear that like your cardiovascular outcomes will improve.
Right. Yeah, well, I think there's a lot of misconceptions around cholesterol as well. You know, cholesterol is not the enemy that they have purported it to be, I think. You know, it's also, it's like the kind of like the waste carrier. So in a lot of cases, you know, it's, you're looking at the symptom rather than the cause. And I think that's the case. They demonize the cholesterol, whereas cholesterol is more of an indication of what might be underlying. And in some cases, elevated cholesterol, they've actually, there are some studies that show people with elevated cholesterol have actually lived longer. So I think there's a lot of misconceptions around it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, like, you know, there's always the classic French paradox. There's a good study I posted about, like, just like a meta-analysis looking at, just looking at cholesterol levels among countries in Europe. And the French just, you know, they have very high cholesterol and very low rates of heart disease, right? Like the cholesterol needs to be oxidized essentially to call it, to cause like arterial lesions and hardening of the arteries. And one of the best, or one of the worst, I guess, like culprits of oxidation that you can put in your body is seed oils. So yeah, I mean, there's all sorts of studies that you can point to. You know, I could put some in the show notes or if people want to read more, but it's, you know, I think you kind of start from, and for what really sold me is like, just the simple fact that like, A, like our ancestors did not eat these fats, right? And B, if you look at scientific studies measuring the fat composition of like literal body fat tissue in Americans from like 1940 to now, it's, the profile has completely changed to be in line with the polyunsaturated fatty acid ratio we're eating. So like our body fat's just totally different than our ancestors were, right? And it's like looser, it's more liquid essentially. And it seems to cause metabolic issues to be carrying that extra polyunsaturated fat in your tissue. But it's like very much measurable, right? Like that's not that you can observe that.
That's very interesting. I actually didn't know that. So the composition of the fat itself is different than from our ancestors. Like there's more polyunsaturated fats in our fat tissue now than there were previously.
Yeah, absolutely. So this guy, Brad Marshall, he runs a blog called Fire in a Bottle, and he's been kind of the voice on a lot of this like fat metabolism stuff. But he's always posting stuff about these polyunsaturated fatty acid ratios, it going back in studies, just in humans, right? Like they would just measure it for whatever reason, right? Like they weren't specifically looking at it, but it's just like a data point. And essentially like it tracks with the ratio in your diet. So 20% of American calories come from soybean oil, right? And about 20% of an American's body fat, an average American's body fat is polyunsaturated fat today. Back in like the 40s, it was about like, it could be as low as like 5 to 8%. Wow. It's a huge change. I mean, to the point where, so this is going down the rabbit hole a bit, but like American livestock is fed corn and soy, right? And corn and soy is what they use to make a lot of seed oil. So it's also high in polyunsaturated fat. So an American pig fed soy has that high polyunsaturated fatty acid ratio. And so it's like, its bacon is essentially softer than like a European pig they would feed wheat and barley, because the fat that it synthesizes when it's not eating the polyunsaturated fats is more saturated and monounsaturated. So yeah, it's a bit complicated. If it's your first time hearing that, it takes some time, sure, to wrap your head around. But
it makes sense though. But I'm curious, what are the, you said that has metabolic implications, and what are the ramifications of that?
So again, this stuff is very complicated, but it seems like there are many mammals that, like mammals in the wild, like bears and squirrels and stuff, that they basically stock up on polyunsaturated fat when they are about to hibernate. So like they eat more acorns or nuts or whatever. it seems like it might be like it would basically slow down your metabolism potentially. But I mean, you know, anytime you throw it, like the human body's like so insanely complicated that anytime you just throw some massive curveball at it like that, like there are certain to be all sorts of like unintended consequences that are going to, you know, they're going to be bad. You're not going to get lucky generally and have them be good, right? Like when you just completely stray from a diet we've, you know, lived on since the dawn of humanity.
Right. Yeah, I could see how that's going to be problematic for sure. What got you interested in this? You said it was that you were cooking more at home during 2020. But were you like immersed in this whole seed oil research prior to that, or?
Honestly, not so much before COVID. I'd say I always ate like what I did my best to be healthy, but I would definitely have like not thought twice about eating at Sweetgreen or Chipotle, right? Like, which both like, so Sweetgreen cooks all their proteins.
They do.
Sunflower.
All in grapeseed oil.
Yeah. And Chipotle is all rice bran oil, right? Like, yep. I would never have thought twice about that. Like, I kind of assumed, you know, it's like, okay, it's like protein and some vegetables and like some rice or something. Like, that seems fine, right? COVID, it was a lot of alone time, a lot of downtime. And like living in New York City, it was just rare that I would be cooking for myself otherwise, right? Like, unless you literally close all the restaurants, like then it's like, okay, you gotta,
I lived in New York City for a long time. I'm very familiar. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. I mean, so yeah, you can imagine like
the kitchens there are like, I mean, people use them for shoe closets. Tiny little, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it was like, it was such a big shock to be like, okay, all of a sudden it's like you have to cook every meal essentially, or get takeout or whatever, right? But so I was also, I mean, also a lot of downtime just listening to a lot of podcasts.
Sure.
Just generally, I mean, I don't know, across, I'm in tech, so crypto stuff, like New York culture stuff. And like the discussion of seed oils was just popping up in a lot of different places that seemed like unrelated. So it was obviously intriguing enough to look into. And then I was basically, convinced, you know, it's not that hard to convince someone like, hey, you don't want to cook with soybean oil at home, right? Like that's kind of like the average, I feel like most people who even care about food a little bit, like generally at home would cook with olive oil or butter or something, right? Like it's not that crazy of a leap, but it's really when you start getting into like the processed foods and restaurants that you realize that like our whole food supply chain kind of rests on the seed oil economy.
Yeah, sure. So what are some guidelines you would give people? Like how do they navigate? I mean, obviously the app is a great tool, but it sounded like there were some kind of like tips people could follow to help navigate when they're eating out. And also I think in grocery stores, it's relevant as well. Cause what I've noticed is there's this trend and my guess is it's to close to increase their profit margin. Because what I've seen is a lot of the organic foods, at least the ones that are labeled organic, are using seed oils. And then the non-organic stuff, a lot of them don't use seed oils actually. So I think it has to do with the cost. I think it's because organic produce is more expensive, and that's a way that they can still maintain profit margins. So, but I could be wrong. It's just something I've noticed in grocery stores.
Yeah, I mean, so grocery, you know, if you want to try to, I mean, I personally like try to avoid eating really any packaged foods, but like, you know, because any kind of whole food you get, right, like whether it's an animal product or plant product or egg or you know, something like fermented like kraut or whatever, like those generally shouldn't have seed oils, right? Like you can double check the ingredient label, but they're not going to add seed oils to like an avocado or like an orange or something, right? They haven't figured that out yet.
But they haven't. But they add it to things like, I mean, I've seen it in salsa. Yep. I've seen it in hummus. It's very common.
Yeah, the hummus is.
Yeah. So, I mean, those are, they're definitely packaged foods, but I wouldn't call them like highly processed foods, you know?
So. Yeah. Well, they are. They're just, you'd hope they weren't, right? Like,
right.
Yeah, no, you'd think like, the answer as to why they add them is more like, why not add them? I think they just essentially like, it just tastes better because it's like oil, it's just fat, it's more calories. So your body just kind of, you know, it's like, okay, it tastes, you know, I also think it makes it creamier. Anything you want creamy and you don't want to like separate, So like mayos.
What I have heard from people who are chefs is that they use it because it does, so when you say creamier, what they say is it makes things softer. So like, for instance, with butter, part of the reason they'll mix it with margarine or with, essentially seed oils. I mean, that's really what margarine is, but they'll do that in order to, because butter can be very hard and stiff. And so then they have to wait a lot longer for it to soften. And it's also just in terms of consistency. So that's just one example, but that's something I've heard. It's not just cost, that it is also practical applications.
Yeah, it's a lot of it's convenience, right? Like, which is sort of like cost when you think about it, right? Like,
time is money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But no, a lot of it is that, right? Like, it's hard. It's hard to work with solid fats. Liquid fats are much easier to work with, and olive oil has a lot of character as a flavor, right? Yeah. And it's also the smoke point is a bit lower, right? So you can't do like really high heat searing and stuff. I think grocery, if you're judicious about like what you're putting in the cart, I think you can avoid seed oils. Right. It might take you some time and you're going to be surprised.
I mean, you really have to read, but yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I mean, restaurants, so some tips, I guess, for picking restaurants and what to order. So olive oil is kind of a whole other discussion, right? Because there's a lot of olive oil fraud and stuff. But I would say, like, ideally, if you're fine with olive oil, the best restaurants in a city like New York are going to be nice, like mid to high end Mediterranean restaurants, meaning like Spanish, Greek, or Italian, that are not like super touristy or like Instagrammy, right? Like it's more like, so like West Village has a lot of really good seed oil safe restaurants, and that's because it's like all locals eating there, right? So like the food is good, and it like, the restaurant survives because of like people who live in the neighborhood coming back, right? As opposed to like a tourist trap, right? Like, so in like more touristy districts, like even like Soho, but especially like, you know, something like Times Square or whatever, right? Like that's where like the economics of the restaurant are probably under closer scrutiny, and it's like higher throughput, right? So I'd say you want you want the restaurant to probably be like as small as possible. The bigger the restaurant is, the more it gets run like a business, meaning that there's literally just like a line item that says like olive oil, like, you know, $50,000, like they spend a lot, they go through a lot of oil, right? So like they might be spending, if they use olive oil and it's a big Italian restaurant and it's pure or it's extra virgin olive oil, it might cost them $80,000 a year. Then they might, if they switch to a blend, it'll cost them like $30,000 a year. So they're just like, oh wait, that's $50,000, like just for free, right? Yeah. So I would say small restaurants, choose the cuisine correctly, right? So like the Mediterranean, Greek, Spanish, Italian generally can use olive oil because they're cool with that like olive flavor being imparted on the food. Sure. Then like after that, I would say like French and New American. I actually ran like the data on the restaurant reports, and I have this like ranking sheet on our Instagram of cuisines.
French, check that.
Yeah, I can send it over to you. So French and New American or American food, like they're pretty good, right? Like French has just been kind of, like, I guess, bastardized, for lack of a better word, right? Like, yeah. So there's, it's not quite as good as the other ones, but because you're just generally not eating like true French cooking, right? But they don't use seed oils, right? They use butter, but like most restaurants in America that are French, you know, they might use a little bit of seed oils in there. So you want to check, but it's usually like a pretty good lead. And then most of the Asian Mexican and most of the Asian cuisines are pretty much like abandoned hope. sadly, but it's because they need like a neutral oil, right? Like, and they're not, you know, it's just like not, they're not going to use animal fats, right? So there are a handful of Mexican places that use lard as you would in like a traditional taqueria. There's one in New York, like one in all of New York. There's one seed oil safe taqueria. There's a couple in LA. But yeah, and like Indian Thai food are generally really bad. Like I found one place that'll use avocado oil in Austin. That's a Thai restaurant, which is cool. But you know, it's like, that's the only one I found in the whole country.
Wow.
Yeah, no, it's tough. I mean, it's just like, it's so entrenched in the restaurant supply chain to use seed oils, right? That like just, it's just, no one really thinks twice about it. And yeah, all the like more poppier Asian cuisines, pretty much it really doesn't matter how expensive they are. Like they're going to rely pretty heavily on seed oils. So I would say, you know, small restaurants, Mediterranean cuisine is a good start. You know, what to order if you're like wood, if they have like a wood fired oven or something, right. Or like an open flame, like that's usually a good sign. You know, the proteins on that are usually fine. Something like anything baked, obviously, like a baked potato is a good side. Anything steamed is usually good. But yeah, so, you know, that's if you're going in totally blind, right? Like obviously check the app, send them an email first. It's all, if you're really, you know, if you're concerned about this before going somewhere, like shooting them a quick email or message, they're often accommodating, right? On some reservation apps like Resy and maybe OpenTable lets you put like allergy information in your, so if you, I just have like the Seed Oil Scout email prompt, which you can copy from the app in the settings page. I just have that in, my Resy profile. Right. So like they kind of, you know, I don't even have to ask. I just, they're already talking to me about it when I walk in. So that's helpful. But yeah, you know, avoid anything fried. Any sort of sauce or aioli or dressing is very suspicious. Aiolis are pretty much blanket bad. So an aioli, if people aren't familiar, is just like a mayo-based sauce.
Right.
Sadly, mayo, you know, basically unless the place takes the care to make their mayo in-house, it will have probably soybean oil in it. Even like, there's restaurants in New York who I've talked to. Hellman's olive oil. It's called Hellman's olive oil mayo, and it contains like seed oils, like mostly seed oils, right? But they just, because there's some olive oil in it, that's what the label says, right?
Right.
So the restaurants have to go so far to make like fresh mayo every day, right? Like that they just generally, you know, don't end up doing it.
Right. Right. What about things like avocado and olive oil? Are they, because I know olive oil has very low smoke point. I know avocado oil has had a lot of fraud around it. So how trustworthy is that?
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely correct, right? Olive oil fraud is very old scam, like as old as like the 1800s. It's very hard to enforce or governments don't really enforce it. It's very hard to test. Avocado oil is arguably worse because it's coming from Mexico. So the cartels have a lot of influence and it's just like, it's a very expensive product. Right. So yeah, both of them are suspicious, I would say. So olive oil, you know, has more polyunsaturated fat, but it's tempting to like simplify it like that and say like, oh, you strictly want to eat higher saturated fat, but there are, you know, the health outcomes of countries that rely on olive oil for cooking are pretty good. Right.
Sure.
And like, so like in Greece, they basically only use extra virgin olive oil, which means like the first cold pressing, to cook, which has a low smoke point, but it seems like it's not the going past the smoke point once in a while isn't doing too much damage to them. Yeah. Again, I would say, you know, like you want to pick a restaurant that you would trust to do the sourcing, right? Like a chef should be able to tell if the olive oil's fake or the avocado oil's rancid. Right. If they care about it, right? I mean, in the app, we try to like explicitly label the source when we can, but it's rare that they go into that detail.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely hard. Avocado oil, I would say, is more suspicious than olive oil. Like you said, there have been some studies where they've tested a lot of them, and only, you know, like say 10% of the brands were what they claimed and non-rancid and stuff like that. You hope, I guess the flip side of that is like the restaurants that do use avocado oil because it's expensive. Like they're generally ones that care about it. Like, like most restaurants that use avocado oil are vocally against seed oils, like Picnic in Austin or Thai Fresh in Austin, like I mentioned. So like you hope that because they care that they're like getting a good source, right? Like that they vetted it a little bit, but yeah, it's not the best situation with those two. Like and so in the app we tag the fats, right? So like you can kind of steer yourself to your level of seed oil safety, I would say. You know, you can go for the pure butter shops, or, you know, everyone's always looking for like places that do beef tallow in their fryers. And we have like a filter for that. A couple in New York, there's usually like one or two in every city.
Interesting. what is the goal of the app, and what do you see for the app moving forward?
Yeah. So, I mean, the goal would be to like in any US city, I say US just because I think the problem is the worst here. But the app's live pretty much globally, and there's some reports in like London and stuff. London's also pretty bad. But the goal is to put any U.S. city dweller like within a reasonable distance of a seed oil safe meal. That's like what I intended, right? Like if I personally would hit, you know, go to a new city for the first time, I would know where to eat. I'd be able to see all the healthiest restaurants, right? Like, and also seed oil safety is just a good, it's a good proxy for like a good restaurant. You know, generally it's like, it's restaurants that really care about quality, care about their food. So I just want to create the most complete map of like restaurants that are cooking what I consider to be real food in the country.
Right. I always say World War II artillery grease is not supposed to be edible.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not food.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So, and that's the thing. It's like the bar, frankly, it's like not even that high of a bar. I tweeted this and I'm sure a lot of restaurant owners would disagree with me, but like, I mean, I don't know. It's a very tough industry, right? Like margins are extremely tight for restaurants, but like really to use olive oil over seed oils, like the cost per dish is not, it's not even a dollar, right? So like, if we as consumers can signify that we'll pay that dollar, then, you know, I think change can happen, right? There's a bunch of regional chains opening up where their whole kind of brand positioning is like, we're like Sweet Green, but we don't use seed oils, or we're like Dig, but we don't use seed oils.
That's one of my dreams is to open a restaurant that is like truly paleo, you know, like no seed oil. Yeah.
No, it's sad as to how rare they are, but there's, like I said, there's a bunch, just kind of like, they're all regional, right? Like, so there's Ziki in Austin, there's Aubergine Kitchen outside of Utah, there's Kitava outside of San Francisco. There's a bunch of them, right?
And you find the ones in Tennessee, middle Tennessee.
Tennessee's been tough. I get a lot of requests for Nashville. A food truck reached out to me and I have to put them on the, I'm having trouble putting them on the map because they don't have a Google location. Right. But, and then there's a Urban Market, H-E-R-B-A-N.
Awesome. I love them. Yeah, they're awesome. They do not use seed oil.
Right. They seem to be the best bet near Nashville that I've found. I haven't deep dived on Nashville, but yeah, it's tricky.
Well, let me know when you do. And if you need any help with that, I will gladly offer whatever I can.
I mean, definitely anything. You can always DM me a restaurant to check out, and I can shoot them an email pretty quickly. But yeah, I think people like restaurant owners and financiers of these regional chains are taking note that this is a real trend. I don't really want to dive into it, but there's this company Zero Acre Farms I'll just say the good thing, they produce an industrial fermented, not a seed oil. I don't want to talk too much about them and their opinions, because it's also very complicated how to form an opinion about them. But what I'll say is that Chipotle invested in them, which shows that Chipotle is thinking about this, right? So I think the needle's moving. I think having the app is good.
That one, we won't dive into it. I know you don't want to, but it is very curious to me, because part of the reason that seed oils are problematic, I mean, not entirely, but part of it is because they are not natural. At least the processing is not natural.
Right.
So what they're trying to create is, again, a synthetic, they're working with the ratio of the fats and taking that angle, but it's still a synthetic substance. So that seems like, I don't know how beneficial that will be for.
Yeah. No one knows. That's the problem. It's a bit of a science experiment.
Yeah.
My intuition is it's probably better than seed oils, just because it's cold processed.
Right.
At the very least, right? They're not heating it, they're not deodorizing it, but it just doesn't contain all those antioxidant molecules that, say olive oil would have, right? They add some vitamin E into it, but I just don't think that's the same thing. So yeah, I'm reserving judgment. But I think one, a blanket good thing that they're doing is they're raising a lot of money, and they're gonna have to create a national conversation about seed oils.
I agree. Yeah. And they're raising a lot of awareness. Absolutely. Yeah.
Right. And their resources, their two of their blog posts, one of them is called "Are Seed Oils Toxic?" The other one's called "Does Vegetable Oil Cause Obesity?" Those blog posts are great. They're the best single link to send to someone as to are seed oils unhealthy, right? So they're doing a lot. They have good intentions. I don't know necessarily if it's something I want to eat is my take, but
I get it. I agree. I mean, I know some of the people over there, and I think they do have the best of intentions. And I think, if nothing else, the blog that they're putting out are fantastic, fantastic resources, fantastic research and information. And definitely it's bringing the conversation to the forefront, where from a fiscal standpoint, I think people are not going to be able to ignore it.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, I think, I don't know. It's a tricky subject. We'll see. I think we'll see where we are in 3 years. Right. It could be we'll see. But either way, I'll tell you where they are. I'll tell you where the seed oils are. You can, the idea of Seed Oil Scout is that you can pick your, hopefully not poison, but pick your poison.
right.
And yeah, I guess so. Other things that are coming up in the app, I'm adding, hopefully this weekend, I think I should finish it. I'm adding essentially just a Reddit board, basically, in the app. So a way to ask local questions in the app.
Yeah.
So ask people in your city, hey, where's the best, what's your favorite grass-fed butcher in, West Village, right? Or where do I get you know, raw milk, or what's your favorite farmer's market in Nashville or something, right? Like just a way for people to kind of communicate this, like a little bit more nuanced knowledge about like their cities. So that'll be another tab in the app. I'm excited about that. Excited about doing a little bit more with grocery and like just promoting, you know, the best products in the marketplace tab. And yeah, just, you know, doing all I can to make it easier for the scouts to do their scouting. So just tools to make it easier to find restaurants, send the emails and stuff, and keep everything running. I'll also, I think, be adding like a grocery layer to the map where you could essentially, you know, I'll like for butcher shops and stuff, I'll have like more, I'll let people post more detailed information about like if they're using grass-fed meats. I'll probably do, you know, butcher shops and like farmers markets and a couple other things, and put them on the map layer as well.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, I know we are running out of time. I do want to just briefly mention, because I have a video running that's going to run at the beginning of the video, in the beginning of this podcast and at the end. And it's to promote the event that we're doing June 3rd and 4th. It is in Franklin, Tennessee, which is just outside of Nashville. And it's a Rebels for Cause. Cause stands for Creative Artists, Uniting for the Sovereignty of Everyone. So it's an Artist for Liberty type event. You can go to rebels4cause.com, and that's four spelled out, and there's no A, and it is plural rebels. So Rebels for Cause, the link is below. You can go look at that. And just a note about that, the early bird tickets are ending this week. So if you want to get the early bird price, I would hurry up and do that. They're also, the VIP are the best deal, but those are also going pretty fast. And so are the couples passes, which are a steal, basically. We're basically going to lose money on those, but they are almost gone. So if you want to snag those, I highly recommend that you do. And ticket sales are going to be capping off on the 19th. So yeah, so you have a little bit of time. Definitely, it's going to be an amazing event. I'm super, super excited. I think we have 41 now between speakers and musicians and comedians. I'm going to be performing aerial acrobatics. So it's and across the street, we have the Skittles event. We actually looked at that location, and they did pass it through. So the city has approved it. So now that's going to be across the street. So it should be pretty interesting. Definitely, I would love to see you all there. So I just wanted to mention that. And we can talk offline if there's any kind of collaboration that you want to do for that. I would welcome it greatly. So
cool. Yeah, no, that sounds awesome. Sad I can't be there.
Very much needed.
Yeah, I'll definitely let you know. I have a friend down in Nashville. I have to make it down there. I've visited a couple times. Awesome. I owe the scouts down there a visit.
You do, because we need some help here. And no, this is like deep fried central. So I know. We need help.
I know, it's tough. I mean, you know, you can't scout what's not there.
But if we highlight what is here, maybe we can encourage some.
Also, you got barbecue.
yeah, that's true.
Right. So, you know, you just got to be careful about the sides if they're using too much mayo. But
meat is usually pretty safe, and we have some really good meat here.
So. Right. Yeah. So, you know, barbecue. There's always stuff. There's always good restaurants doing the right thing. You just got to kind of dig for them. Honestly, like what usually ends up happening is like, some super scout emerges in a city or region, and they file 100 reports. Like it's usually just like one person who's super, super dedicated, who fills out, you know, like there's a user that's like really crushed like all of like Orange County. She's just like tore through it. And I think she has like 250 reports, and they're all awesome. Right. So, you know, it just, you gotta be the change you want to see, you know, once you call those, you know, that's kind of like the beauty of the app, right? Like if you would have done that before, like called a bunch of restaurants and asked what they cook with, you couldn't do anything with it. But now if you do that, you know, they'll be on the map for everyone to kind of, you know, benefit from, as well as, you know, yourself. So, yeah, I mean, you know, that's kind of, That's my job, is to keep the scouts motivated, keep them, you know, have the app be easy and fun to use. There's like a point system in the app, and I want to do like leaderboards and stuff to make it a little bit more of a competition, which I think will be fun. But yeah, you know, I think the future is bright, you know, provided we, you know, we got to work at it and be loud about it. But
yeah,
there's, you know, change can happen quickly. I think, you know, if these big chains and stuff see a trend emerging, like, you know, they could start all racing to jump on it, right? Like,
yeah,
kind of the way like gluten-free was a huge thing and everything. Yeah. So like, yeah, no, there's, you know, you can absolutely start a trend, and this is how you, you know, you do it. So there's hope is my message, I guess.
Well, that's awesome. And I appreciate what you're doing. Tell everybody how they can find the app and how, and if there's any way they can support, like, you know, contribute or yeah.
Yeah. So, on Twitter and Instagram, it's just Seed Oil Scout. You know, no spaces or anything. SeedOilScout.com is the best way to get the app. Just visit, and there's a big download button. It'll take you to the iOS or the Android App Store. Yeah. So, you know, easy to find. Google us, Seed Oil Scout. And then supporting, yeah, for now, I mean, just filing reports. You know, if the map's blank around you, don't DM me. I get a lot of DMs like, hey, there's nothing near me. It's like, listen, the Seed Oil Scout's a one-person team. I'm running the socials, I'm coding, I'm doing everything, right? So it's like, right. If you DM me that your city is looking, you know, or your town is there's nothing there. It's like, I there's only so much I can do here. So yeah, get scouting. That's what I say, people. Start scouting. That's how to support.
All right. Cool. Well, I will see if I can do my part. I mean, I definitely, because I know you say it's probably not an allergy, but I do actually have like very concrete adverse reactions. And my theory on it is that it's just a toxic load. I think my toxic burden is the threshold has just been kind of capped off. And so that's just because it is, the nature of it is highly inflammatory. Then I break out in hives. I get like really like intense stomach cramp pains. It's not pleasant. So not to deal with it. So
you're not alone though. I mean, we're hanging there at like 130 on ranked food app on the App Store, and we've had like 100,000 downloads. So there are plenty of people who feel the same way.
Wow. Well, I'm glad, because when people hear me order and do the whole spiel, yep, and they're like, you're so annoying, you're so high maintenance. And I'm like, I just really don't want to feel sick right after I eat. That's really all it is. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you. But yeah, you know, that's kind of, you know, if you trick everyone into going into a good restaurant, then you don't even have to ask. That was
true. Unfortunately, sometimes those good restaurants are a little pricey, so that can be a challenge to convince, you know, and not everybody can do that. So I think we need to really, you know, I think we need to bring awareness so there is more widespread change, so that it's not, so it's more accessible. So it's not just, you know, the super fancy restaurants, and even those are not always great about it. So yeah,
totally.
Well, I know you do have to run, but I really appreciate it. And we'll be in touch for sure. So
yeah, this was a blast. Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Hey.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.